You are listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. Hello, I'm Joe Vicnicki for KFSK News Department. This is a call-in show coming to you live on Tuesday, September 19th, 2017. And this is a radio call-in show on Petersburg's ballot proposition number 6. One of 7 ballot questions that voters are going to be deciding this fall. It addresses off-highway vehicle use on most roads on Mitkoff Island. And a yes vote on this would mean that ATVs and other off-highway vehicles could be driven on most roads on the island. It also would set up requirements and fines for on-street use of ATVs. A no vote would reject the measure and keep the status quo. Current law does not allow the practice. And we are going to talk a little bit more in detail about how it's going to work, what a yes vote exactly means, what a no vote means, and we'd love to take your calls. 772-3808 is our phone number. How are you going to vote on this issue? What are your questions and concerns? Do you like this? I'm joined in the studio today by the person who's been proposing this ballot question and circulating signatures to get it on the ballot this October. Richard Burke, welcome to you. And also joined in the studio today by Petersburg Police Chief Kelly Swihart and current Borough Assembly person Nancy Strand, who has been a little bit outspoken about this measure and has some thoughts about it, why it shouldn't happen. Welcome to you all, and thank you for joining me. And a reminder to listeners, 772-3808 is our phone number. And we'd love to hear how you're going to vote, what your thoughts are, and what your concerns and questions. So call in during this time. We'll put you on the air. Let's jump right in. Ballot question 6, ATVs. Richard, what exactly does this question do?
It allows for folks to ride their ATVs, operate, or it'll allow for OHVs, the side-by-sides and stuff, to be used on city roads. It's cheap transportation. And
yeah, why did you want to put this on the ballot?
Well, I kept on looking out my door at my ATV I paid $7,000 for, and I can't ride it anywhere in town. And it's kind of frustrating. I can't even legally plow snow with it.
So you'd like to see that change. What kind of things are you trying to or hoping to do with it? You're driving downtown or do errands?
Yeah, mostly errands. They're not very fun to ride more than about a mile or so. Oftentimes when I'm going downtown for stuff, it's just for something that could either fit in my pocket or my backpack, and it seems ridiculous to need to drive my pickup downtown to get something that can fit in my pocket.
So you went into the process of getting this on the ballot, did a lot of research, I imagine. What did you find out in your research? This is something that's kind of coming up across the country in various stages. Some municipalities are looking at banning them. Some municipalities are looking at allowing it, like Petersburg. It's kind of a hot topic wherever you look. What have you found in your research?
Well, last year I was vacationing in did a road trip up north. I visited Valdez, and I noticed that Valdez is 4,000 people, and they're renting them to tourists. And, like, Valdez can do this. Why can't Petersburg? And I kind of tipped the hat. I've done a lot of research. They're legal in a lot of places around the state. Haines legalized them in 2014. That's 1,700 people. Skagway has them legal. Cordova, 2,200 people in that borough. They're legal. Pretty similar content to the initiative I've proposed.
And you took this ballot or ordinance, based it on, I forget, is it Thorn Bay or Craig Kloak? Somewhere in Prince of Wales.
Thorn Bay. Thorn Bay, okay. That was the real starting point for how do you formulate a code.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. It's drastically different now from Thorn Bay's, but okay. It was a good starting point.
It changed a lot during the process.
Yeah.
Originally, you had snow machines included in this. It is no longer in there.
Yeah, that went away pretty quick when I realized that it was never going to pass if snow machines were included. They're too different. I'm proposing for wheeled vehicles that can start and stop easy, can turn easy, okay. Whereas snow machines, they don't turn so well.
Okay. Yeah, so this ordinance talks about off-highway vehicles. So what exactly is covered in here? It's basically what people call a four-wheeler.
The rugged golf carts, even a regular golf cart would count as that. The registration requirements on a regular golf cart might be a little different. Mm-hmm. And police chief might know a little bit more about that. But still, you'd be required to register a regular golf cart under the borough code. I use Kawasaki mules for the Forest Service fairly frequently, and they're great, and I don't see why they shouldn't be allowed on our city streets.
Okay. And specifically, this would be most streets on Mitkoff Island, but there are three state-owned roads that are not included, Mitkoff Highway.
South Nordic and Hagen.
Okay, so specifically, you couldn't go on those high-speed streets with these.
Yes, so this is limited to streets where the speed limit is 25 miles an hour and less, and just by the fact that there aren't any Petersburg streets with speed limits higher than that.
Okay. So, Police Chief Kelly Swihart, what is currently the enforcement practice with the department and off-highway vehicles at the moment? Do you see people riding these on local streets at all, or is there any ticketing happening? Or?
You know, we do see it occasionally. There's not a huge issue with people riding on the roadways for transportation right now. We have traditionally allowed snow removal and don't want to hinder folks from removing their snow as long as they're doing it safely and they're not causing any kind of traffic hazards or other hazards. We have had a couple of incidents in the past several months. One incident just required the operator to park the ATV and go get a vehicle to move it off the highway so he could get it home. And the other was actually an ATV that crashed, and I believe there was a DUI that went along with that. So we do see occasional issues, but there's not a significant amount of issues.
How would this change how you do business as a police department? Basically, your department would be required to be giving out registrations for a new registration sticker for these ATVs?
Well, it's hard to anticipate what the impacts will be. It's going to depend on the number of users that are interested in going through the process if the ordinance passes. So I do see some increased workload and efforts, but I'm really not sure how to quantify it. I don't think it's going to be too significant. I think, if it goes through, probably initially there'll be some interest in it, and then that... as that becomes the new norm, then we may see that activity decrease some.
Okay. Richard, this requires a two-year registration sticker to be purchased from the borough?
Yes.
Okay. And do you think, what's your guesstimate on how many ATVs, off-highway vehicles, there are on the island? Is it 50, 100, couple hundred? Or?
Oh, there's several hundred.
Yeah? Okay.
And my estimate was Well, 300, it may be a little high, but if 300 machines are registered, it's going to generate $14,000 a year of profit to the borough.
Because you're looking at it's a $100 two-year...
Yeah, it's a $50 per year, but you pay it every 2 years. Okay. And it's going to cost the borough probably $2 a year to administer it. All they have to do is sell you a sticker.
Okay. So that would be money into the borough. In order to get that registration permit, you also would have to show proof of insurance for these vehicles?
Yes. Insurance is cheap. It cost me $23 to put insurance on my ATV for an entire year.
Okay. And does that cover enough for you to be driving out on the streets?
Yes. The insurance company, State Farm and Juno, they are very aware of the fact that I intend to operate this on a street.
Okay. And this ordinance also includes a series of fines, the biggest of which is not having proof of insurance if you're out there driving. It's a $500 fine as it's currently written. So if people are out there driving, don't have proof of insurance, and are out on the streets, that's a big ticket. And
there's other big fines too, like reckless driving is $300. Mm-hmm. The police do have some teeth with these fines to enforce, especially the people that are out there misbehaving.
Mm-hmm. And another thing I wanted to highlight is, as written, this currently the ordinance requires registration for all ATV use, off-highway vehicle use, anywhere on Mitkoff Island.
Yes.
As written. So yes. I guess the question is that going to be enforced? Is there going to be law enforcement pulling you over somewhere?
I wrote the initiative, the intent was to require registration in Service Area 1 because that's primarily where the enforcement is. But the borough attorney insisted that I make it a requirement Mitkoff Island-wide. So I don't imagine there's going to be much enforcement outside of Service Area 1, and part of that was the reason for setting the fine for not registering at $35. I didn't want to force the folks outside of Service Area 1 to register, but I had to.
Okay. Would you change that if you could?
If I could, yes, yeah. I would.
In practice, Chief, is this pretty much talking about Service Area 1 then? Or?
Well, I think so as it applies to us. I mean, we typically don't provide services outside of the service area unless there's some sort of emergent type situation or another agency that would normally take care of those jurisdictional areas asks us for help. So it's, you know, we're not going to be out actively looking for these ordinance violations outside the service area as a matter of course.
Okay. Nancy, what are your thoughts about the ordinance? You reviewed it as it went through the assembly process, do you think it should happen or not happen?
No, I'm not in favor. I have concerns about safety. I have concerns about the insurance. I went down and asked my insurance agent if I could get some of that cheap insurance on my car, and they said no. So I'm concerned about the amount of coverage you get for $23.
Nancy, it's based on the number of CCs of the engine. So your car has a lot more CCs than an ATV. It also has a lot more potential to cause damage to someone else than a 600-pound ATV.
The visibility, seeing them coming, I think there probably should be a minimum size for vehicles that drive on public streets. If you don't want to ride more than an hour, I don't understand. Are you going to go up and down the streets for an hour or for that hour? And if you can plow snow with it, that takes care of that concern.
Yeah, but it's illegal to plow snow.
I think the chief said
The chief said that we're not going. He doesn't plan to enforce it. But it's illegal to plow snow.
And that speaking of enforcement, it's going to be more than $2 to administer this because just issuing the sticker for registration isn't all. They're going to have to be enforcement. How much is that going to cost?
Any idea?
Well, it's going to depend on, you know, just the amount of violations we have. I don't have an idea. I mean, there's an inspection process here. There's administrative processes that we have to go through to issue the registration. So there is some manpower involved in that or some labor costs involved. We're just going to have to get into it and figure out what that impact is going to be if and when it happens.
But that will be your department, current existing staff. And will it mean bringing on, it won't mean a need for additional person or?
No, I don't think it's going to support the need for an additional person. And I'm not sure that we have cemented the fact that it's going to be strictly the police department that's involved, although that does make sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's logical that it would be the police department, but the initiative does not spell out what department is going to administer it. That should be left up to the borough assembly to make that decision.
Okay. We do have a caller. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Hi, Joe. This is Gary Albach.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, I just wanted to call in with a comment. I just wanted to go on record saying I'm opposed to having four-wheelers on the streets. We have enough wheelchairs and skateboarders and scooters and mopeds and enough things to be looking out for. And it seems like the people helping with snow removal in the winter, they stay out of the way, and the police department deals with them in a good way. They let them help. So it just seems like a lot of clutter that we don't need, and a lot of ability kind of hanging out there. So I just wanted to be on the record. I'm opposed to it. That's all I really had.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Richard, this ordinance also requires other safety measures. The particular one is a flag on the back of all.
Yeah, the flag was a requirement that I took out of the Thorne Bay Code. It's also a requirement when riding in public areas in Oregon, particularly the sand dunes. It's 4x10 flag, bright orange or pink, mounted at least 6 feet above the ground. Usually they wave around a little bit in the wind, and they make them substantially easier to see.
And there are other requirements, too, and in particular how you operate these vehicles, staying on the right-hand side of the road. What else?
No passing. You got to get out of the way if two or more vehicles are behind you, which the electric cars are 5. Helmets, if you're under 18, to mimic the motorcycle helmet law. Lights.
Driver's license required for on-street use. Also, a borough-approved safety class.
Or a motorcycle license certification? Yes.
Okay. All right, so that's pretty substantial requirements even to get your thing out on the road.
Yeah.
But it's worth it?
I think so. I'll be the first to sign up.
Okay. Chief, I wanted to ask you, too, about I thought it was interesting. You've served in your capacity as a law enforcement officer in various jurisdictions that have allowed this on a limited measure and also prohibited it. What issues have you seen that have worked, have not worked in those various jurisdictions? What has arisen as you've been a law enforcement officer around the state and seen ATVs on streets or not allowed on streets?
Well, some of my information is going to be a little dated, but I have been able to work in 3 other municipalities. And interestingly, the first municipality I started off with was Palmer, and they had very strict ATV ordinances and snow machine ordinances. And we did have occasional issues there, safety concerns and ordinance violations, but very few. When I went to Wasilla had limited use on approved trails and had strict regulations for speed limits on trails and across parking lots to get to connecting points for trails. And we had some pretty significant issues and concerns there. We had some crashes. There's been fatalities in the area. Some bad things happened there. When I went to Hoonah had a similar program to what Richard's trying to implement here. They allowed the use on the city streets after the boxes were checked for registration and safety requirements and inspection requirements and things like that. And we didn't have a very big issue with ATVs there at all. There's a lot of factors in this, though. Palmer, at the time I was there, was probably comparable in population what Petersburg is now in Palmer proper. Wasilla was quite a bit bigger, higher population, much more condensed. And then Hoonah was a much smaller population. So there's a lot of factors that could come into play. One of the things, if I could, Joe, just back up a second.
Yeah.
I think it's important for people to realize that if this ordinance goes through, it will allow that operation once the boxes are checked, but there's also state requirements that need to be explored and make sure people are up to speed on those requirements, whether it's, specific insurance amounts, equipment, registration. There's a myriad of state laws that aren't waived by this ordinance that people need to make sure that they're up to speed on and stay within the bounds of.
Okay. Did you have enforcement issues in the places that there were limited or full allowing in terms of making sure or chasing down people who are not operating safely?
When I was in Wasilla, we did have some significant concerns and some issues there with enforcement. We tried a couple different strategies. When we were there dealing with these issues, sometimes it was just an ATV issue or a violation of those ordinance, or there could be other crimes involved too. So it's Wasilla was a pretty complex issue compared to what we would see here, I think.
And then in Hoonah, with the registration, that your Hoonah department gave out that registration permit, like it would work here, and similarly.
We did. People came in, and we took a quick look at the ATVs, made sure that they had a valid insurance card, made sure that they had valid driver's license, and then we filled out a receipt and issued the sticker.
And did that go pretty smoothly there?
It did.
Okay. And probably a similar number of ATVs in Hoonah, I'm guessing, or maybe a few less? Or
you know, I don't know. I think there were, you know, when we were there were probably around 700 people total in town, so quite a bit smaller than what we have here.
Okay. All right. 772-3808 is our phone number. I'd love to hear how you are voting on this issue. It's Proposition 6. It's allowing ATVs on local streets. Give us a call and let us know what your thoughts or concerns are on this or your questions. And I wanted to get in a little bit more about the safety issue and driving on local streets. One thing I notice is distracted drivers around town, people on their cell phones, not paying attention and that kind of thing. Is this going to add to more danger out on the streets for the drivers who are already out there and maybe not paying attention as much as they should be? Richard?
I think it'll actually decrease that some.
Yeah?
Because some of those drivers will now be on an ATV, and it's really hard to use your cell phone while you're your thumbs on the throttle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nancy, is this going to get more distracted drivers off the streets if they can just ride an ATV?
I have no clue. Who can predict what a distracted driver can do? When I was flagging on Main Street, an amazing number of people came through texting on their smartphone.
I think you can see it every day on every street here in Petersburg.
It was really close up and personal at that time.
Talking on phones, texting.
Going by you within 5 feet.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen it out there running and walking as well. How is this, putting an ATV on the side of the street, different than me, though, being on my bike or running and walking out on the side of the street, which is also, I agree, that's dangerous with some of the driving around here.
Part of the time you can be on a bike path, and I think you're at risk on the shoulder. There's almost no shoulder in some places.
I definitely feel at risk.
People drive faster than the speed limit. You don't get ticketed if you're just going 3 miles over the speed limit. So I think that bikers and runners, joggers, even walkers are already at risk. And if you're sitting on the left side of your car driving and the little low vehicle is on the right side, if you're in a low car that's low to the ground, you have more chance of seeing them. But if you're in a car that's up a little, one that an old person can get in and out of with ease, your visibility is more restricted. Plus, I think educating is, I have no idea what a motorcycle class involves, but enough people don't know the rules about operating a vehicle, a full-size vehicle, never mind a new rig on the road. You wonder sometimes if all the educating in the world does any good. So it's just safety concerns that we haven't even thought of yet.
Richard, you feel safe enough to drive out the streets of Petersburg, given what you've seen around town?
Yes.
You do?
Most definitely.
Okay. All right.
I feel that being on a smaller machine is actually easier to get out of the way of a dangerous other driver.
Okay. We do have another caller. Caller on line one, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. My wife and I walk constantly in Petersburg, and I don't know how many times people have run stop signs and speeded past us, and I just can't imagine what it's going to be like with a bunch of young people on four-wheelers speeding around this town. I'm sure we're going to get hit. So I'm deathly opposed to this.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call. So safety, a big concern. We should mention with the age limit, so a driver's license is required. So the oldest kids will have to be at least that 16 and a half to have a driver's license in order to be out on these things, right?
Well, I believe the ordinance mandates that they be at least 18.
Oh, 18?
Is that correct?
No, it's have a valid driver's license. So that kind of sets the minimum age.
But under 18, you need a helmet if you're...
Gotcha.
Okay. Yes.
So, yeah, it would be 16.
So a 16-year-old could be out on an ATV. They'd have to have a helmet, but that would be the minimum age to be out. So it wouldn't be you wouldn't have a 5-year-old or 10-year-old out driving on the streets.
No.
Legally.
No.
Okay. All right.
And they'd still be required to follow the speed limit.
So Nancy mentioned the motorcycle class. You've got a motorcycle license?
Yes.
What goes into that? What do you learn in those classes?
I got it about 10 years ago in Oregon, and... It was pretty intensive, but riding a motorcycle is a lot more difficult than riding a four-wheeler. The four-wheeler doesn't fall over if you stop. You don't have to lean like you do on a motorcycle to go around corners and stuff.
But it's more. Is it more or less dangerous, would you say?
Motorcycles are more dangerous than four-wheelers.
Okay.
May I make a comment here?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
At least a motorcycle can drive in the lane. It doesn't have to be to the far right. Is that? And I believe something in the lane ahead of you is more readily noticed. I think you can see it better.
Okay, I think we have a caller on line 3. Caller, you have a question or comment? Caller, you have a question or comment? Hello? Well, we'll try them again in a moment. Remember to call in at 772-3808. That is our phone number. We'll put you on the air with a question or comment, and we'll try caller on line 1. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I just got in from a walk, so I don't know if this has been asked yet, but one thing I oppose to this proposal, I can see in a small village maybe, but we have too much traffic and too many people walking in the road to deal with this. But my question is, if this proposal goes down and we have a heavy snowfall, would that mean that my son-in-law can't carefully drive his four-wheeler down a couple blocks and clear my driveway for me? And I'll just listen on air. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call. And yeah, I think the chief had mentioned that already, but go ahead, chief, and say it again. You're not really enforcing people who are doing snow plowing in snowfall times.
No, we've traditionally not interfered with that or not enforced the ordinances for people that are out responsibly, you know, plowing snow and trying to maintain their driveways and sidewalks and things like that. As long as they're able to do that without creating a hazard and they're being responsible, traditionally we haven't interfered with that.
Richard, as the ordinance is written, this allows ATV use or off-highway vehicle use on Mitkoff Island year-round and day and night.
Yes.
So there's no restrictions there. And do most ATVs have some kind of lights on them? Or are they?
Yes, most. Well, headlights and taillights are a requirement. I think that's actually already incorporated into the municipal code. If not, it's added by this.
Okay.
So. Yeah, they'll be able to be seen at night.
Okay. And year-round, I mean, the safety gets more of an issue when there is snowfall down and the streets are constricted a little bit, less room and that kind of thing.
I think this actually, in some cases, improves safety. Like, if you're out riding around on your four-wheeler with a snowplow, some folks will stop and plow out driveways or a space for the kids to wait for the school bus or.
Okay. I'll try again on line 1. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. I just wanted to clarify something. If you have a four-wheeler and you don't intend on driving on the road, do you still have to have it licensed and insurance?
Okay,
Does that mean that every four-wheeler on the island has to be registered?
Stay on the line. We'll have Richard answer the question for you here.
No, it's only if you're going to operate it on the borough streets.
Oh, okay. I am opposed to it. I really don't think it's necessary, and I just think it adds a whole lot more work to already officers that have a hard time covering everything at all times. So thank you.
Thanks for the call. And we should also mention that requirement for registration just on Mitkoff Island, as it is written. So a couple more calls here. I'll try to get them on the line. Caller on line two, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
We got you, go ahead.
Hey, this is Adam Swanson, and I'm in full support of this measure.
And why is that?
I feel like, well, boy, it's a long list. For the snow removal, it's still illegal to be on the road, even though they're calling for a non-enforcement. That's kind of at the judgment of the officer. I feel like it should just be legal. I feel like we have a parking problem downtown. Everybody's got a side-by-side. That's twice as much parking spots. Those people that try to get into the North Harbor, it's a nightmare. I know there's I don't believe in the safety issue, so that's not a problem to me. Anyways, that's just that's how I feel. I think all the old timers in town should be driving around in golf carts. This is crazy. So, anyways, that's it. Thank you for my time.
Thanks for your call. Yep. All right. We've got some other opinions there. We'll try caller on line three. Caller on. Oops, we lost them. Let's try caller on line two. How about? Nope. Lost them. Well, thoughts on Adam's opinions there? Any of the guests here? Richard?
He brought up the kind of the young people argument. We need to attract more young people to live here. Young people generally like OHVs. They like cheap transportation. And this is one way to keep them here.
Okay. Nancy, how about you? Are there thoughts on the safety issue or...
I have trouble believing that being able to drive an off-road vehicle on the roads is going to keep anybody here. It's like saying that people are leaving because the number of students we have is dropping. I think an equal cause of that is that people are having fewer children. So I can't see being able to drive an off-road vehicle will keep anybody here.
Okay. Try again on caller on line three. Are you there?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me now?
We got you. Go ahead.
Hey, I have a big problem with the noise of these things. They are not quiet, and you're out for a nice walk. It's feeling real peaceful, and all of a sudden one of these things goes roaring by you, and it's very jarring. The accident thing, the Specialty Vehicle Industry Association, and also the ATV manufacturers themselves, recommend they not be used on paved roads. They're not designed for that. And nationwide, the majority of the fatalities on these things occur on pavement rather than on off-road use. So they're not designed for it. And, you know, right now, a lot of places, children are playing on the street. You see these signs all over town. Well, I think we're going to be giving up playing on the streets to the bigger children, 16 and above, when they go after school and on weekends. So I think there's another safety issue there that hasn't really been addressed there. So, you know, if these guys really want to save on gas, why don't they ride bicycles? That's another option. And it doesn't make all the noise. So there's a couple of things, reasons I'm definitely opposed to this thing. So, another thing is the shortcuts across the Muskeg. There's places where now you're running around on your ATV, and our muskegs are very fragile. You can see tracks that were made 10 years ago on the muskegs when you go walking. And they're just going to be another temptation to take these little shortcuts dashing across the muskeg. So that's what I have. I'm definitely opposed.
Thanks for the call. And this ordinance doesn't change ATV use on land other than streets, right? That is still not allowed in most places, except on private property and your own property, right?
That is correct.
I think. Forest Service land, state land, borough land, that kind of thing. Cutting across the muskeg where the trails are or on the trails, or how does this ordinance doesn't address any of that, though?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, but current law, Chief, is that practice prohibited? Is there, do you see any of, I mean, that enforced?
We haven't seen a whole lot of that either. We do get some complaints at times in the winter, but you know, it comes down to a respect thing, I think, for private property. You need someone's permission to be on that property and operate the vehicle on the property, and then, you know, you need to make sure that you're complying with any other state regulations or Forest Service regulations when you're on their property. If we could back up to the last caller just a minute. One of the things I mentioned earlier were other state requirements, and there are requirements for mufflers to meet certain specifications and be there. So there are some additional state laws that that people need to make sure they comply with, especially when they're looking at aftermarket accessories if they're going to be on the streets.
Okay. Yeah, Richard, thoughts on the issue of noise?
Those laws are already part of the municipal code. It's already referenced in there. You have to have a working exhaust system. And there's other issues that if noise is a legitimate problem, the assembly can pass an ordinance saying can't operate it at night.
Okay. And I did grab caller on line one. Hopefully you wanted to be on the air with a question or comment on our call-in show.
Yeah, Helen. Good morning.
You're on. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I actually am not. I'm undecided whether I'm for this or against this at this point. Although I am definitely for allowing as many personal freedoms as we can have. But in regard to the safety concerns, as pedestrians and bikers on the street, kind of the feeling that when you are operating on a motorcycle or a scooter or a quad, and you're not encapsulated with a windshield and a car type structure, I think that you are much more aware of your surroundings and you're able to see a lot more. You're not being distracted by cell phones and music, etc. So I kind of think that pedestrian safety, I don't think that's going to be an issue, and that's all I really had to say.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks.
Nancy, go ahead.
His comment made me think, is there a restriction on wearing earbuds or earphones and listening to your music list on your iPhone? Is that restricted in any way? That would be a distraction.
That is not covered in the ordinance that I see. Is
but it may already be a state law that prohibits it.
It's covered under state law.
State law, okay. All right. Caller on line three, question or comments?
Just comment. This is Chris Clark, and I'm all for it. I opened up a little business here in town, Chris's Mechanical, and I would think, you know, people out using their machines, you know, wear and tear would bring business in for me because I'm doing small engine repair there, four-wheelers and whatnot. You know, I think as long as everybody's riding around being safe and being aware of what they're doing, I think it's a great idea.
Okay, great. Thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Richard, you brought up the issue of cost, cheaper to own these vehicles, cheaper to maintain and insure, that kind of thing. What's a ballpark for a new or used ATV or off-highway vehicle that people would have around town? Is it $5,000 to $10,000 or something like that?
A couple of years ago, I bought my machine, brand new out of Juneau, for about $7,000. UTVs, they're quite a bit more expensive because generally you want to get them equipped with a cab and a heater and a windshield wiper. And
UTVs, for people who don't know, that looks like kind of like a beefed up golf cart almost.
Yeah, rugged golf cart.
With a little bit thicker tires, it's got a full top, and it sometimes has two seats side by side, sometimes call it side by side, right?
Yeah, and sometimes they have a back seat as well.
Okay.
So really, you could transport four people with them.
Okay.
And those, you get up near $20,000 for a brand new machine, but I'm sure there's a used market for these.
So with those, you're getting up into comparable for used or even a new cheap car or something like that.
Yes.
Okay.
But four-wheel drive.
Yep. Okay. You brought up the issue of parking as well. You imagine seeing more space downtown if people can drive these down to do their errands down at the stores on Main Street? Or?
Yes. There's a lack of on-street parking downtown. Oftentimes, I'll go downtown and there won't be a spot, so I'll just go home rather than buying something from a business there. You can fit a lot more small vehicles in the same space that you could fit large vehicles.
And if this voters approve this, do you imagine there would have to be some kind of reconfiguration to have only small vehicle spots or that kind of thing, or just have them park wherever?
No, I don't see how it's any different than parking a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just park wherever.
Yeah. All right. Respectful.
Nancy, how about you? What do you think issue, I know that's a popular issue with you.
I think the parking would increase if people knew how to park. There's no need to leave a half a car space between yourself and the car ahead of you when you pull in to park. And then the next guy leaves half a car space, and pretty soon three cars are taking up five spaces. There'd be way more parking if people knew how to do it.
When there's those half spaces, though, you could back an ATV right into it.
Okay. Chief, other thoughts about what you saw in your other jurisdictions, either enforcement where it worked or didn't work, or other problems? You mentioned there were some fatalities. That was people, I imagine, not driving safely.
A lot of those incidents where folks were injured involved excessive speed. So, that's a thing that if this goes through, people need to remain cognizant of. One of the callers earlier mentioned vehicles not being designed for on-highway use. I think that could be a valid concern. A lot of these off-highway tires cause vehicles to act differently when they're on the pavement. So those characteristics are magnified with speed. So it's going to be important that if this goes through, that people do watch their speed. I think that's going to be where we could have the primary issue with safety.
I was trying to do a little research before the show and looked up reported ATV deaths in Alaska, and this is from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. They had yearly deaths reported in Alaska between 1982 and 2012, a total of 164 ATV deaths reported in the state between those years. So that's an average of 5.5 deaths reported a year. Also to mention that Specialty Vehicle Institute of America, that trade association that past caller brought up, they mentioned 92% of ATV-related fatalities involve behaviors that the industry warns against in its rider education programs. In all literature and on vehicle labels, these behaviors include children riding adult-size ATVs, operating on paved roads, operating without a helmet or other protective safety gear, carrying passengers or single rider ATVs, and operating under the influence of alcohol. So warned against in their literature, but they say most deaths are because of those things. But that includes on pavement use. Richard.
A number of those things you just listed are still going to be illegal. You're prohibited from carrying more passengers than the vehicle's rated to carry. So most ATVs, just the rider. Most side-by-sides, however many number of passenger restraints it's equipped with. You mentioned the death rate. You're 3.5 times more likely to get murdered.
In Alaska?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, 772-3808 is our phone number. Call in if you have any closing thoughts. How are you going to vote on this issue? What questions haven't we addressed on how this is going to work in practice if voters approve? I want to go through the guests and give final thoughts on why people should vote one way or the other, or think about things going into ballot proposition 6. Start off on the other end this time around. Nancy, other issues we haven't addressed or things you'd like to bring up?
I think, well, I have concerns about insurance, safety, educating, but we've covered those. So I'll think of 17 things as soon as I walk out the door.
Has anything Richard said convinced you otherwise?
No.
No? Okay. Chief, what other issues haven't we addressed that we should?
As far as I know, we've covered things pretty well. Again, I think if this goes through, there's going to be a learning curve, and we need to folks to get acclimated. We're hoping for voluntary compliance with the regulations, and don't forget to research the other state laws that make them into play here.
And Richard, what issues would you like to bring up at this point?
I just think that allowing OHVs on roads doesn't cause a significant risk to anyone, and that's why I'm in favor of this.
Okay. We have a couple more calls. Caller on line one, do you have a question or comment?
Is that me?
Yep, you're on.
Yeah, okay. This is Bill from Kaufman Cove, and now we're talking about four-wheelers and safety and ordinances and whatnot, and we have no law enforcement around here except troopers show up once in a while. How would a person enforce, you know, having the flag on there, wearing helmets, not going too fast, all that?
Okay. So this ordinance specifically just addresses Mitkoff Island, so not your neck of the woods.
No, but you guys are going through the same thing.
Yep. True. So the enforcement here, if this were to happen, would be Petersburg Police, and from what we heard earlier, just in Service Area 1, the old city limits for Petersburg.
So yeah, okay.
Even just a portion of Mitkoff Island. So.
All right. So what are you guys going to do? Are you going to go ahead and limit it to a driver's licensed driver and insure on the four-wheelers, or have you gone that far yet?
Well, that's what this whole vote is about. So if this ordinance would pass, then yes, that would be the case.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Because we got a little concern about here is, the four-wheelers, they're really good and everything, but there are some people, like anything else, kind of abuse things.
You don't have any kind of enforcement there in Kaufman Cove with that issue, or?
No, the only thing we got is call the troopers, and, they're in Quahog, so yeah, or unless they might be happen to be around here, but no, there's no, yeah.
Okay, and
we got an ordinance, the kids are supposed to wear helmets and have that flag on the back and, go slow and stay on their own side of the road, but yeah.
And people do drive them on the pavement.
Oh, yeah, it's, the whole town's paved here now.
Okay.
Yep, so. Yeah, it's one of them, yeah. I was just wondering. I was listening to you on the radio, so, yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
And let's see if we can get another caller on here. Caller on line three, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, just a little comment. I spent a month in Metlakatla here this summer, and in Metlakatla, it's completely illegal to ride your four-wheelers on the road, and it has really alleviated the traffic and the parking congestion. You go to a grocery store in Metlakatla, and for every vehicle parked in the parking lot, there'll be one or two four-wheelers also. And a comment on what one of the callers called a little bit ago and said, our streets would no longer be safe for children. You know, driving a four-wheeler in a residential area is no different than driving a car or a motorcycle. You still have to adhere to the speed limit and the same laws, the stop sign, everything else a vehicle has. So I think that was a little out of line. I don't think it has anything to do with the issue. You're driving a four-wheeler, you need to be careful. You're driving a car, you need to be careful. Children shouldn't be playing in streets anyways. But that's just a couple comments.
Okay, sounds like you're a yes vote.
I'm on the fence.
Okay.
Still. I would probably lean a little more towards the yes. I do believe that parking situation downtown is absolutely crazy, and if we could take 20% of the vehicles parked downtown on Main Street on Saturday of cars and change those out with four-wheelers, we'd have room for a lot more parking.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We have a couple more callers here. We'll try to get I'm on the air here. Caller on line one, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. This is Don Peeler. I'm all for it. I don't really see the danger in it. I'm no more likely to run over somebody on my ATV than I am in my car. And we only have two paved roads, so that's not really a concern. And most of the town here, our speed limit's only 20 miles an hour, so I really don't see the danger to people.
Okay.
That's right. About all I got.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
We have a couple more minutes, so now's the time to call in. If you do have thoughts on this, 772-3808 is our phone number. And caller on line three, do you have a question or comment?
I have a question. Can you clarify the roads that the ATVs would be able to use? Because you mentioned state-maintained, but where's the cutoff on Nordic? Can you be more specific, please?
Sure. Richard, I'll let you field that one.
It's at the intersection of Hagen and basically by the municipal building.
Okay. So South Nordic, all of South Nordic, out to Mitkoff Highway.
Yeah.
Until... basically, we're talking about the end of the old city limits, so all that paved. All
However,
that new...
an important thing to point out is it's still legal to cross these roads.
Okay. And then, so Haugen Drive as well, so people couldn't use an ATV to go up to the grocery store or the post office or even the airport or something
like
that. Yeah,
there's a grocery store downtown.
Yeah, okay. People couldn't ride them on the bike paths?
No, that would be illegal.
Okay. And then the other place is
Mitkoff Highway.
Mitkoff Highway. Okay, so three roads basically, but people could ride them on North Nordic, Sandy Beach Road.
You could go out Cabin Creek Road.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then basically all of downtown, and side roads off of Mitkoff Highway, the kind of thing. So,
yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see if we can get another call here. Caller on line two, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, it's Mike Schwartz. I spent 2 years ago, I spent about 10-12 days in a place called the Luckaduck at the mouth of the Yukon River. And 90% of the driving is done with four-wheelers. And I asked them there how many accidents they'd had. Nobody could remember an accident within the last 10 years. They have 5, 6, 7 family members on a four-wheeler at one time. I'm not saying that that's probably a good thing to do here, but I think I would be a yes vote. I don't see any reason why that couldn't be done. Tenneke, the only way they ride is on four-wheelers, and there's an island off of the coast of California where they use four-wheelers and golf carts, you know, cheap way to drive. And makes for a lot of parking. It's just a matter of people driving within the law and using helmets and using common sense. So
okay.
That's my two bits. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. 772-3808. One more call here that we have. Caller on line one, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, this is Eric Lee. I just kind of started listening to this talk show a few minutes ago, but I had a concern about hopefully it hasn't been covered, but what is the regulation?
Eric, we're losing you a little bit. Are you
okay? Can you hear me now?
Yep, let's try that again.
Yeah, I have a concern about going from the roads onto the muskegs, and I was wondering what the regulations are about that, you know, as far as just being able to drive off the road and onto the muskeg. Muskegs are pretty fragile, and the tracks last a long time, I've noticed. So, you know anything about that?
Yeah, and Chief addressed that a little bit, as well as an earlier caller. But
okay.
Chief Swihart, go ahead, and if you'd say that again, what use on land off street kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think the borough is going to permit it on their lands, most likely. Private land, it would be up to the landowner and other state land or Forest Service land. It's going to be up to those individual jurisdictions. But as a matter of course, I would think there would be very few areas where they're going to be allowed to cross muskeg.
Okay. And let's
I think
go ahead,
the
Richard.
Forest Service allows it after there's a few inches of snow on it, so when it's frozen.
Okay. All right, and another caller on line three, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, hi. Hey, this is Phil down Napa. We've had quite a few people standing around listening to this conversation, and, you know, we all kind of came to the same conclusion. You know, common sense kind of rules on this. Nobody really wants to get hurt, and these are vehicles that are governed by laws and rules of the road, and I just don't think you'd see, you know, like 300 SUVs on the road. I'd be surprised you saw more than 10 or 15 on any given day, so... yeah, we're in support of this.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And I think that's all the calls we have at the moment. And just want to remind you, we can get a couple more minutes in here. If now's the time to call, 772-3808. Let's just rehash the ballot proposition. A yes vote on this one would allow on-street use for most roads on Mitkoff Island, not including Haugen Drive, South Nordic, or Mitkoff Highway, except to cross those, of course. And there are a bunch of requirements for allowing on-street use of ATVs, including having driver's license, getting certified through a safety course, and having a flag on the back of the ATV or off-highway vehicle. So a yes vote would allow all that. A no vote would keep the status quo. Closing thoughts. Why should people vote one way or another? Richard, why should people vote yes on this?
You should vote yes because why not allow people to have freedom to make their own decisions? You're not putting anyone else at risk.
Okay. Nancy?
I thought of this when Mike was talking about Luckanuck. I wonder how many cars there are in some of those villages. And the use that would increase the use of ATVs, and I might even support that if everybody was driving an ATV. But otherwise, I just can't see it. The safety issues and education are concern to me.
Okay. And Chief, any last thoughts to keep in mind?
You know, I think that it's really important for people to take a few minutes, research this, make up their mind, and, you know, most importantly is to come out and vote so that, you know, your voice is heard on this and the other issues. If it goes through, a little common sense goes a long way and will help us keep things safe and smooth.
And I think the full ordinance is in the whole ballot, so people can see a copy of that, I think, online on the borough's website.
Yes.
I think it's been published in the local paper a couple times already, so people can go through and read all the requirements that are included in here. And you can definitely educate yourself. This is ballot proposition 6. It's just one of 7 that people are going to be voting on, and I hope you... can educate yourself about the issues. We'll be doing some more coverage here on KFSK of the ballot questions as we get closer to the October 3rd election. And most of all, hope you get out and vote. A reminder that the election is October 3rd, and absentee in-person voting already going on down at the borough clerk's office during business hours. And tune in here to KFSK for other coverage. Thank you to our guests, Nancy Strand, Chief Kelly Swihart, and Richard Burke for coming in today. And thank you to all our callers for great questions and comments on the ATV issue. You're listening to KFSK in Petersburg.